Biofuels like ethanol and biodiesel are distilled from corn, soybeans, sugarcane, and various oilseed crops. The United States uses one-third of its corn crops to produce ethanol. According to the Department of Agriculture, 3% of the gasoline used in the U.S. comes from ethanol, and the U.S. Congress has mandated a 57 billion liter increase in ethanol production by 2015 to reduce the nation's dependence on foreign oil. Brazil is the world's leading exporter of ethanol made from sugarcane. Europe produces most of the world's biodiesel and has mandated a 10% increase in biofuel production by 2020 to help lower atmospheric concentrations of greenhouse gases. Both Europe and the United States spend billions of dollars every year to subsidize biofuel production, but that kind of support should be discontinued, says Katharina Wahlberg of the Global Policy Forum, a New York-based group that monitors UN policymaking.
Biofuel production is probably the major cause of the food crisis right now. By converting food into fuel, you compete with land, with water, with all sorts of resources and put pressure on food stocks and prices. But also, it's not environmentally sustainable at all. It's not green. Biofuel is not the answer.
The Bush administration maintains that corn-based biofuel production accounts for only 3% of the increase in global food prices. Some analysts agree, suggesting that biofuels are being unjustly blamed for the world's soaring food prices because the current first generation of biofuels are made from food crops and yield modest energy returns. Chemical engineer George Huber of the University of Massachusetts at Amherst says it is important to distinguish between various types of biofuels.
The real challenge is first-generation biofuels. You're taking agriculture products and you're using those directly. With second-generation biofuels, what's called the cellulosic biofuels, you're using non-edible biomass. You're using agricultural waste or energy crops, which don't compete directly with foods. Corn ethanol, biodiesel, you could make the argument that maybe you could remove those subsidies. But the subsidies will be necessary to make biofuels economically competitive, particularly the subsidies on cellulosic biofuels.
Some observers argue that rising food prices are forcing policymakers, particularly in Europe, to reconsider biofuel subsidy programs. Those that are impractical or inefficient should be reviewed, says Trade and Agriculture Deputy Director Ken Ash of the Paris-based Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, or OECD.
Those kinds of policies to achieve relatively modest energy security benefits, relatively modest environmental benefits at relatively high cost do warrant a further look, in particular policies in OECD countries. And I think that the International Energy Agency said that the maximum one might expect to realize over the medium term would be about 4% of total transport demand coming from biofuels.
At the same time, Ash says the potential of second-generation biofuels made from waste material should be explored as part of a full range of energy alternatives. George Huber of the University of Massachusetts at Amherst says cellulosic biomass is abundant and cheap and must be explored if biofuels are to have a major impact in meeting world energy needs.
Cellulosic biomass, it's the woods, the grasses, the trees, and the agricultural residues. It's very cheap, and the people can actually start producing their own fuel and selling their own fuel on the open market. And so what we need to do is to figure out how we can sustainably harvest it and convert it to a fuel.
But critics worry that biofuels could accelerate the destruction of natural resources. Katharina Wahlberg of the Global Policy Forum says biofuel technology needs further development.
Either the research and the development of these biofuels have not come far enough to produce efficient biofuels, or it's still something that will compete for land and compete for water resources. Even the Brazilian biofuel is not sustainable. There's been cases of companies slashing rainforests in Brazil to make land for producing biofuels. So I think there's been definitely too much optimism around biofuels.
Paulo Sotero, director of the Brazil Institute at the Woodrow Wilson International Center for Scholars, disagrees with this assessment.
It is incorrect to make any connections between the production of sugar cane for ethanol use in Brazil with rainforest destruction. And Brazil has replaced half of its needs for fossil fuel for vehicles using a little bit over 1% of its arable land. So in Brazil, the debate about fuel versus food is non-existent.
Many experts say the biofuel controversy is likely to continue until the next generation of biofuels is ready for commercial production within 3 to 4 years. For Focus, I'm Ida.